Sins of the Fathers, Inspector Carlyle, Novel 8, written by James Craig and read by Joe Jameson.
Chapter 1. A famous American writer had died a few days ago. The guy was so famous that even Julian Schaefer had heard of him. Julian even thought that he might have read one of his books. At least, he was fairly sure that he had seen the film of one of his books, the one with Danny DeVito in it, along with the Scientologist actor who seemed more interested in flying planes than appearing in movies. The pilot actor was really famous, but at that particular moment, Julian couldn't recall his name. The more he tried, the more he could feel it slipping away from his grasp. Stress does that to you, he supposed. Taking a sip of his coffee, Julian finished reading the newspaper obituary and calculated how old the author had been when he had keeled over. It irritated him immensely that they didn't just spell it out in the text of the story. When they turned to an obit, the first thing that people asked was, how old was he, or she, when the Grim Reaper came calling? Did they, as the English like to put it, have a good innings? That's what the reader wanted to know. Why make them have to work it out for themselves? So how old had the guy been when he snuffed it? Julian did the maths, hovering between 86 and 87 for a few moments before deciding on the latter. He muttered to himself. Not bad. Making it to 87 made you a winner in Julian's book. In his view, life was a competition. How long you survived was one of the most important measures of winning or losing. If life expectancy for a man was 78 or 9, anything over the average 80 surely meant that you had won. Getting almost an extra decade over the average Joe? He would take that. Of course, 20 years would be better, but in Julian's book, beating the norm was the main thing. As a bare minimum, he wanted his fair whack. He didn't want the last thought fizzing through his brain before he keeled over to be, I've lost. Finishing his drink, his gaze slipped to a box below the obit in which was listed the author's top 10 tips for writing. 1. Never open a book with the weather. Only an American could say that. You simply couldn't get away with a rule like that in England. Here, the weather was a national obsession. Dropping the newspaper onto the bench beside him, Julian looked around the large playground in search of his daughter. After a few moments, he caught sight of her, laughing with some other children as they played in the sandpit. Julian felt a wave of irritation at the thought of Rebecca getting her clothes dirty in the damp sand. Then he remembered that his mother would take care of it later, and the emotion subsided as quickly as it had risen. Looking up at the sky, he shivered. It was the kind of day where the conditions seemed to change constantly. Every time you looked up, it was totally different, clear blue or slate black. One minute it was early January, the next, May. The heavens were never at peace, not unlike the city sprawled out uneasily below it. Right now, it was more like January. Sighing, Julian gently lobbed his empty paper cup towards the waste bin, his shot missing by a good 6 inches. Damn. Wearily pushing himself up from the bench, he took 3 half steps to his left and bent down to pick up the cup, feeling a slight spasm in his back as he did so. It was an old squash injury that flared up occasionally, each time taking slightly longer to pass than the time before. Straightening up slowly, he dropped the cup into the bin before gingerly massaging the base of his spine as he returned to the bench. Glancing at his insanely expensive watch, Julian saw that it was already after 11 a.m., in other words, the heart of the working day. Right about now, he should have been in a meeting with Josh Samuels of Harring Wootton Mackenzie. It was a meeting he needed to take. Yet here he was, babysitting Rebecca. He tried to recall whether the Samuels meeting had been formally rescheduled. Again, his mind was blank, the details of his calendar replaced by the mixture of pleasure and guilt that he felt at not being at his desk.